The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth.
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the earth.
Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host... Normal's outreach coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Friday, February 3rd, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. We're so excited to get to the show today. We're going to get right to it because there's so much to bring to you, all sorts of breaking news we need to get to you as well. So from our virtual studio in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon, our senior news editor, Cannabis Carrie, joins us. Hi, Carrie. Oh, my goodness, Carrie, we're not getting you for some reason. All right, we will see what we can do on Carrie's end of the mic, but we got some breaking news coming out of Colorado for the Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol initiative and its signature gathering process. Also in the news today, we've got story on a ballot measure coming out of Olympia, Washington, and California balloteers trying to get marijuana legalized there are looking for some big money donors. Also, we'll tell you about our live coverage of the High Times Cannabis Cup going down in Los Angeles next week. We'll be bringing you live shows from Los Angeles starting on Wednesday, and then Saturday and Sunday starting at noon Pacific, running till 7 that evening. We'll be bringing you coverage of the High Times Cannabis Cup in Los Angeles live. So you want to check that out here for free at live.normal.org. Also on today's show, a couple of great guests we've got. Paul Armentano joining us at half past to give us a rundown, a legislative update. Mark Peterson from Sensible Missouri and the Show Me Cannabis Legalization on legalization there in the Show Me state of Missouri. Also, we're trying to get Mason Tvert on the line on the breaking news there. There's Cannabis Carrie. We got her on the line. We'll get to her for the news right after this break. And Mason Tvert joins us to give us the breakdown on that Colorado news that's breaking just as we are coming on the air here. You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation. You can check out our blog at stash.normal.org for more information. Go to normal.org/AV for the full schedule and follow at NormalNet on Twitter.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. My job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month, and when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. Weedmaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of Normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. Weedmaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit Weedmaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network.
How's it, everyone? This is Yee from Pepper, and you're listening to the Normal Show Live.
Hi, I'm Radical Russ. One of the best things about marijuana is the wonderful aroma. But when you travel a lot like I do, that aroma becomes a suspicious smell. That's why I endorse Stealth-Products.com, the leaders in smell-proof containers. From smell-proof vacuum bags to smell-proof backpacks and duffel bags, all the way to smell-proof digital safes, stealth-products.com has you covered. Stealth-products.com brings you safe, secure, odorless layers of protection with activated carbon fiber. Backpacks and duffel bags are simple black so as not to attract attention with a logo or a flashy design. Now, nothing is perfectly odor-controlled from the detection of drug dogs, but with proper vigilance, containers from stealth-products.com will help you avoid nosy humans.
You're now listening to Elliot Beats.
Stealth-products.com. Stealth-products.com.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
Today, the Colorado Secretary of State's office announced that the Regulate Marijuana-like Alcohol campaign missed its mark by about 2,500 verifiable signatures. We've been tracking the progress of the Regulate Marijuana-like Alcohol ballot measure that would legalize marijuana for adults over the age of 21. Just like the initiative's name suggests, marijuana would be taxed and regulated in a similar fashion to alcohol. The bill would also allow cultivation, processing, and sales of industrial hemp. Last month, a random sample of those signatures that the group turned in to qualify for the ballot signified that only about 50% of them would be valid, so they were required to do a line-by-line, signature-by-signature count according to the rules of the state. The campaign needed 86,105 valid signatures to make the ballot, so they turned in almost 160,000, almost assuring them a spot on the ballot, or so we thought. Supporters of the initiative will now have 30 days to collect the remaining 2,409 signatures for one last shot at qualifying for the November ballot. We have Mason Tavert from Sensible Colorado and a backer of the initiative to give us an update on the measure, so I'm going to turn it over to Russ.
All right, Mason. Hey, thanks for joining us here on the show on short notice.
Sure.
Hey, so that's the good news, I guess. The silver lining here is that this isn't the end of the initiative. There's still time to collect the rest of the signatures?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is still the very beginning of the initiative, and this is just part of the process. Basically, the Secretary of State encourages people to collect far, far more than are necessary, and this is why they have this process, so that when you do cut off just a little bit short, they give you it's actually another 15 days. It was mentioned 30, but it's actually 15. And, you know, we collected on average about 3,000 or more verifiable signatures every single week during the petition drive, so we're highly confident that we're gonna be able to do this over the next couple of weeks.
That's really good news. Is there any indication as to why there was such a large number of spoiled signatures in this effort?
Well, we haven't received the full word yet, but we do know, and it is typically the case, that you end up having a lot of signatures that get thrown out because people aren't registered, or they think they're registered, or they use the wrong address. For example, if you are registered to vote and you move, and then you don't change your registration,
right,
you might use your new address and it's not going to match up. Of course, there's also illegible ones. And then one of the bigger issues is that when there's an affidavit that has to be notarized in the back of every single section of 50 signatures, and a lot of times that gets messed up, whether the notary forgets to stamp it or a piece of information is left out. If anything's wrong with that affidavit, they strike all those signatures, so potentially up to 50 at a time. So, you know, this is why we started last year in early spring, getting this process started, because we wanted to ensure that we'd have this period if it became necessary.
That's right. You got to have the backup plan. What does the polling look like as far as the people's support of this initiative?
It looks great right now. You know, it looks like Colorado really poses the best chance in history to end marijuana prohibition at the state level. We've seen polls throughout 2011 that showed between about 48, 49 and 54% support, compared to just about 38 to 42% opposition. And so, you know, we definitely have that edge to begin with, and we know that it gets a little bit tougher as we get down the wire. So we're really going to be, this is another reason why we started so early, is to strengthen that support and do a lot of work over the next 8 months or so that we can build that lead and push it over the line.
Excellent. Mason Tavert from Safer and Sensible Colorado, proponent of Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol in Colorado. If people want to get involved, learn more about it, where can they go on the net to find out information?
They can go to regulatemarijuana.org, and whether you're in Colorado or not, we really hope to get a lot of people involved in this in a lot of ways around the country. So please check it out, regulatemarijuana.org.
All right. Mason Vert, thank you so much for joining us here on Normal Show Live. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. And folks, get involved. Regulatemarijuana.org is the website, and they've got 15 days. They got to collect more of these signatures. Make sure you get your signature on the line.
Well, on that note, let's talk about this story as well. A story written up today by Chris Roberts of the San Francisco Weekly outlined the efforts of the current ballot measures in California to try and court funds from billionaires. The Regulate Marijuana Like Wine just released their finance records that showed they have only $80,000 in cash. They are just one of several cannabis law reform measures that are looking to secure financing. The numbers for getting any measure on the ballot in California and other states are staggering. They need to have 504,760 valid signatures, meaning in reality they will need to get at least 750,000 signatures to have that many deemed valid. The Regulate Marijuana Like Wine currently has only 30,000 signatures gathered. Getting that many signatures cost about $1.5 million, but if they wait a few more weeks before the April 20th deadline to get all those signatures, that month is so busy for signature gathering firms that their prices often quadruple during those weeks, pushing the bill to gather those signatures up as much as $5 million to get them. With this much at stake, there are a few billionaires that everyone is trying to contact. George Soros, Peter Lewis, Napster co-founder Sean Parker, and Facebook co-founder Dustin Moskovitz have all given big in the past reform efforts. Peter Lewis was asked by activist Mickey Martin for $1.5 million to fund a legalization measure last year, and the email reply was that his research had led him to believe that the time has not yet come for legalization. A quote from that email said, quote, "I believe that if the issue you want to pass isn't polling well above 60% in favor before the election, there is no chance to pass it. California's not there yet." But a recent poll showed that California might actually be there. A statewide poll done this week surveyed 800 likely voters and found that 62% would vote yes on the Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol measure if voting today, with only 3% saying they were unsure and only 35% saying they would vote no. A full 80% of those polled agreed to the statement. State and federal drug laws are outdated and have failed. Therefore, we need to take a new approach that makes sense for today. The surprising results of the poll have been a boost in the confidence of the groups to court more financial backers. Those numbers are similar to the polling numbers for Prop 215 from 16 years ago and much, much higher than Prop 19 was polling at this time 4 years ago.
Yeah, you know, it seems like it was just a couple of years ago we were covering that election on Prop 19, and there was those anti-Prop 19 people. They had a problem with this part or that part. I forget the exact details, but they didn't like it. And one of the rallying cries I heard from them was, let's not just jump in to vote for any old legalization measure. We can always put another legalization measure on the ballot in 2012. You know, we could put on something in 2012 that'll be a whole lot better than this Prop 19. Well, it looks like the one that's farthest ahead at this point has 30,000 of the 750,000 signatures it will need. It has $80,000 of the, I don't know, $1 million, $1.5 million that it would need. So all you anti-Prop 19 people from a couple years ago, where's that money? Where are you kicking in the money and kicking in the signatures here to get something on the ballot? Because it's, after all, it's so easy, right? So easy to get something on the ballot. I hope people learn a little lesson from this, and that is you cannot let the perfect be the enemy of the good. These chances to legalize statewide are few and far between. You got to make the best of every possibility.
And a bill in Washington state asking for the DEA to reclassify marijuana has gone an important step forward. Senate Joint Memorial 8017 is just the very latest pressure that the states are using to try and get the door open to more sensible medical marijuana laws. Earlier this week, Washington State Governor Chris Gregoire joined the chorus of governors in asking the federal government, namely the Drug Enforcement Administration, to change marijuana from a Schedule 1 substance that would define it as having no medicinal value to a Schedule 2 substance. The Schedule 1 classification at the federal level conflicts with state medical marijuana laws, and in Washington state has caused a rift in public policies around the state from east to west. The measure passed with unanimous approval from the Senate Committee on Health and Long-Term Care and will now move on to the Rules Committee, where, if passed, would be scheduled for a floor vote. In testimony before the vote, several members of the public testified to the committee on the benefits of medical cannabis in their lives, and Senator Jeanie Cole Wells testified before the committee, saying that she believes that much more harmful drugs are able to be prescribed and regulated with no problems. She also joined 41 other legislators in signing Gregoire's letter earlier this week. 7 Republicans and 35 Democrats signed that letter. While many of these measures might not effectively convince the government to reclassify marijuana alone and to lift the pressure off of the medical marijuana programs in the states that have them, together, governors, state-sponsored bills, and individuals have been continuing to put pressure on the government to change, and it may be the best tactic we have.
Well, this is the way it moves forward, inch by inch, you know, measure by measure, state by state. You know, that's kind of the theme of today's show, is that you have to keep making these positive steps. And yeah, it's a, you know, largely a symbolic thing here with the state legislature just asking the DEA to reclassify cannabis in a way that's consistent with the way that state and 15 other states in the District of Columbia are now classifying cannabis. I mean, in the state of Oregon here, we've actually gone to the length of rescheduling cannabis. It's Schedule 2 here in Oregon under our state law. So kudos to the Washington State Legislature for moving forward with this, and we hope that it even goes farther with 502 and getting legalization passed here come election time. All right, thanks for the news, Carrie. I wanted to bring up our travel schedule coming up for this High Times Cannabis Cup. We're heading down to Los Angeles, so there will be no live shows on Monday or Tuesday. We will be on the road making our way down to the condo. But we will be bringing you live shows from our condo in Little Tokyo Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And then, of course, covering the Cannabis Cup from noon to 7 Pacific time on Saturday and Sunday. And I'm proud to announce that we've got a great fundraiser that we're doing for this. The Normal Network High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. It's 420 somewhere raffles. That's right. It's 420 somewhere. You can tune in to live.normal.org on Saturday and Sunday for coverage of the panels, the expo floor, and interviews with cannabis culture celebrities. If you plan on attending the event, get your tickets now. You can go to medcancup.com to buy them online. And you want to, as soon as you can, because they sell out fast, use the promo code CANORML. Like California Normal, CANORML, and you'll get a 40% special discount for the supporters of this show and the Normal Network. Promo code CANORML. Now, for our special 420 Somewhere raffle, we're having them both days at the Cannabis Cup. Tickets are just $5 at the event, or you can get 5 tickets for $20, and the proceeds benefit the Normal Network. Now, here's the deal. We're going to have 6 raffles each day. We're going to have a raffle at 20 after in every American time zone. So it's going to be a 420 Eastern, 420 Central, 420 Mountain, 420 Pacific, 420 Alaska, and 420 Hawaii, which means from 1 o'clock to 6 o'clock at the 20 after, there is going to be a raffle. And when you get your ticket, your ticket's good for all 12 raffles. So if you're there at the first, you know, first the doors open on Saturday and buy a ticket, there's 12 chances to win. We're going to raffle every hour. Now, there's $2,000 worth of prizes that we're raffling. You don't have to be present to win, but you do have to pick up your prizes at the event. We're not going to ship them. We're not going to hold them after 7 p.m. Sunday. If you don't pick them up, they go back into the prize vault. Now, we'll announce the winning ticket numbers at 20 after on our live coverage, which you can view on our Ustream app for your iPhone or Android. We will also tweet them out through our NormalNet Twitter account, so you'll want to follow us, by text message to your cell phone if you write your cell phone number down on the ticket, and we'll have a whiteboard at our merchandise desk with all the winning numbers so you can just come by anytime and pick up your prize package. Now, here's the 6 prize packages. They get better as the day goes on. The Schwag prize package for 420 Eastern, a gold leaf lapel pin, a normal sticker, and 6 normal buttons. The Grass prize package is everything you get with the Schwag, plus a Rick Steves hemp backpack and a normal t-shirt. The Bud package at 420 Mountain, the Schwag plus a stealth backpack and a normal t-shirt. The Kind package is the Bud package plus the Marijuana is Safer book. The Dank package is the Bud package plus the Medical Marijuana in California book and a normal mug jar. And the Chronic package, giving away at 620 each night, the Dank package plus a Normal Life DVD and an autographed banner from all of the crew at the Normal Network and Normal Show Live. If you want more details on those prize packages, just go to our blog at stash.normal.org. It's all written out right there. Now, those packages will probably change as well as Ganja John gets more donations from vendors. They'll probably probably be worth even more by the time we throw the show. And for those of you listening online, you get in on a piece of the action as well. At every raffle, we will randomly select one of our Normal Net Twitter followers to win one of the swag prize packs of a gold leaf lapel pin, a normal sticker, and 6 normal buttons. And in the last 3 raffles, the online winner also gets an autographed normal banner from the whole Normal Show Live crew and anybody else from High Times or other cannabis celebrities that we can get to sign the banner. So check it out. It's the Normal Network 420 Somewhere Raffles at the High Times Cannabis Cup. Hey, look who's here on the end table. It's Brian the Red. How you doing?
Howdy.
I think it's time we take a break. What do you think?
Maybe.
We'll be right back after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215. Or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
Is this some kind of bust?
Yes, it's very impressive, but we'd just like to ask a few questions.
You really want to legalize marijuana? Prove it. Join Normal today at norml.org. And your donation will help us spread the growing truth about cannabis. Free speech ain't free, you know.
Free the ganja tree, it's the healing of the nation. Free the Cali weed, good for meditation. Free the pot smokers, they're in a delight. Lighting up the chalice, they will keep no malice.
Free the marijuana.
Come on, come on, come on, say.
Free the marijuana.
Hear me, say.
Free the marijuana.
Come on, come on, come on, say.
Free the marijuana.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today, we take you into the weekend with Rockin' Friday. Our segment features the best of rock, metal, punk, and jam band music. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune.
All right, this week we're both another day older and deeper in debt. It's Herb Thrasher, our local rocker. How you doing, Herb?
That's right, dude, but no rust, man. We're still going.
That's
still
right.
Made of metal.
Herb's made of metal and not even a tiny hint of rust.
That's right, man. So it's all kinds of stories going on, man. Did you notice when you were talking to Mason right there, did you notice the calm in his voice? And like, there was no panic. It was all like, oh, no problem, man. We're just going to do this. We got this.
2,500 no signatures? Shit.
Yeah. You know what I think it is, dude?
What?
I think it's that Mason knows that Colorado has Tim Tebow, and it's the Tim Tebow factor, and they're going to pull it out right late in the fourth quarter and win the damn game.
I think you just made John throw up in his mouth a little bit.
A little bit.
Right on, guys. Well, yeah, man, we're rocking another day. We got Normal Rocks tonight. Got a great freaking show tonight. I'm so excited. Got an all-time legend guest in the death metal world, Chris Barnes.
A live call-in, right? Now,
live call-in, man. He's ready, and he's a true freedom fighter, man. He's doing this because not because it's rock, man. It's because it's normal, dude. He's really more of a normal supporter, man, and just supporter of this movement for so long. And we're gonna get to talk to him about it and kind of show, you know, just different cultures, man. It's really not all about the Rasta and jam bands.
Right. I mean, hey, Herb,
kind of country guys and everyone.
I kind of talked over your intro a little bit. Name the artist and the band again.
Tonight on the show is 6 Feet Under, and it's Chris Barnes, and he's the lead singer, and he's just been around forever, and he's known as pretty much one of the legends of that genre of metal. And so we're excited to talk to him, and then we've got some other fresh new music from some other Metal Blade artists, and then we're going to play Lion Eyes tonight, which we've got a song that we're going to be playing now. Right. Lion Eyes from Silver Springs, Maryland, is a rock, reggae, jazz band on Pimento Music Group Records. Gaining fans across the world, Lion Eyes takes pride in their original sound, do-it-your-own-self work ethic, and fiery live shows. Despite its lack of mainstream press, the band's loyal following expands daily. Lion Eyes spent this past summer as standouts on the Vans Warped Tour and followed that success with a string of dates across the United States, co-headlining with friends Larry and his Flask. This fall sees the band once again on the road touring with label mates and all over the place. Check them out. Lion Eyes are no strangers to the touring life, have spent better times the last decade touring virtually nonstop with Bad Brains, Clutch, Steel Pulse, and other bands. Which, yeah, speaking of that, I went to, that's where I kind of learned of these guys was 2 years ago. They came to Portland, and they were at the Roseland with Clutch and went and saw them, and they were just freaking awesome. The new album and song, Superzar and Vulture, combines the older sounds of Lion Eyes while blending new life into the songs. So check these guys out, lioneyesmusic.com, MySpace Lion Eyes, and they're on Facebook, and they're in Portland February 6th. And Normal Rocks is going to be there. They're in Hawthorne Bar on 39th and Hawthorne, and we're going to go check them out and have fun. So you guys around Portland, come check them out with us, and these guys come requested of one of our favorites, Danny Danko, and turn it up. Rock and roll. Have a good weekend.
This is Lion Eyes with Superzar on your Rockin' Friday.
Bengal tigers and judo. The fire-powered hero. Pimpin' loot for power suits. Whatever could that fit you? Glad the Superzar. Greeting like a star. I love your DVD. Still sexy like a sympathy.
that just has something to say.
All of us can get a piece of that pie. And the reason we don't have headway is because that 1% can't figure out how they're going to make all the money.
It just has something to say.
Your Sunday morning and Wednesday evening pot and politics immediately following Danny Danko's free weed here on
The Libra Lounge.
Remember, friends, there's more to life than marijuana. I just can't remember what it is. Why'd I come in here?
Normal Show Live reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share.
'Cause the day was hard and your work was long. Need a break from all that's wrong. You better look at the clock, 'cause it's 4:19. Time to reach in that pocket for your bag of green. And smoke that weed. Smoke that weed. Smoke that weed.
Everybody, it's Wiz Coleco from the Ivory Island Hour, which comes to you live every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Pacific on the Normal Network. I just wanted to let you know that two of my favorite bands are teaming up to spread good vibes across the land and are headed to a venue near you. Revolution is heading out on the second leg of their tour in support of the release of their new triple album, Peace of Mind, which includes full-length acoustic and dub versions. They'll also be joined by our boys from the land of Aloha, The Breed. They're also promoting the recent release of their latest album, Ways and Means. You can check out a full list of shows, get the latest swag, and most importantly, find their music at revolutionmusic.com and thegreen808.com. Don't miss this amazing tour. I promise you, after these shows, you'll have peace of mind.
Normal has been the place to go for the latest studies and news on marijuana science, policy, and activism. For over a decade, one man at Normal has written and reviewed more studies and news stories regarding marijuana than most anyone on the planet. First as senior policy analyst and now as deputy director, Normal's Paul Amentano has written for major newspapers, academic journals, and magazines on the subject of cannabis and is frequently requested as an expert witness in the courtroom. His knowledge and experience are an amazing asset to the cannabis community. Available to you now in a segment we call Behind the Headlines with Paul Amentano.
Glad you know if you joined us earlier today, we opened with breaking news on the Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol initiative falling a little less than 3,000 signatures short in its initial signature gathering process, but there's a whole lot going on in other states, and it's more than just legalization. There's medical marijuana, decriminalization, depenalization, so many things to cover, and there's one man at Normal who's got it all covered, and that's our deputy director, Paul Amentano, who joins us from the Bay Area by telephone. Paul, how you doing today?
I'm hanging in the rough.
All right. So let's get to the news here because, you know, people are focusing a lot on Colorado, Washington, and California. They hear a lot of news about efforts to legalize there or their medical marijuana programs and so forth. But there's some states in your list today of Normal's weekly legislative roundup that maybe people aren't aware that there's reforms going on. Let's get started with Alabama.
Sure, and let's be clear, you know, a lot of times when advocates get involved in this issue and they say, you know, what can I do to bring a change in marijuana laws or marijuana policy in my state, the first avenue that they want to pursue is this idea of trying to run a statewide ballot initiative. And as you and Kerry talked about at the top of the hour, it is very difficult to run such a campaign. It takes a lot of money, a lot of resources on the ground, and it really should not be the initial way people try to bring about reform. The most likely and the most proven way to change marijuana policies in your state is through the legislative process, and that means contacting your local officials, your state elected officials, finding sympathetic legislators and working with them to draft legislation and then lobbying, supporting, and testifying in support of that legislation. And at Normal, this time of year in the spring is when most state legislatures are in their session, and we like to keep people updated as to the bills that are moving forward in their states and notifying them when there's hearings, when there's votes upcoming, and getting people involved in the legislative process, because ultimately that's how we're going to change the laws.
Mm-hmm. It's also happening at local levels too. I mean, people do municipal initiatives, ballot measures and so forth. And I think people get caught up in the, I guess it's, you know, more exciting to think of putting together a petition, putting it in front of the statewide voters, and bam, in one fell swoop, getting everything changed. But they fail to recognize that even something like Prop 215 in California was preceded by many, many local initiatives and campaigns that laid the groundwork for that.
Of course, and keep in mind, only half the states allow for statewide ballot campaigns. Mm-hmm. So if you live in a number of states, you don't have that option. You have to go through the legislature. And in states like Alabama, like you mentioned, that's the only opportunity we have to bring about change in that state is through the legislative process. And Alabama's a terrific story in that this year, two bills have been pre-filed to allow for the medical use of marijuana. One bill is actually a measure that's been reintroduced. That means that a similar measure had been introduced by the same lawmaker last year. But there's also a separate bill to legalize medical marijuana that's been introduced by a separate House member. Both of those measures are going to be taken up by House lawmakers when their session starts next week. And the sponsors of these bills, they're talking a pretty good game. One of them, in a press report earlier this week, guaranteed that he's getting those bills out of committee. So definitely we encourage people in this in the southern part of the United States, if you live in Alabama, to check out Normal's CAPLIS page and see how they can get involved in that reform process in Alabama.
Yeah, just check out normal.org. In the blog, you'll see the list, Normal's weekly legislative roundup. When you click that, you get a list of all these states, what's going on, links to the bills, a link to our Take Action Center, where literally you just got to fill in your zip code and it'll figure out who your legislator is and send a note on your behalf. Also, it'll give you the contact information you need if you want to go farther and call them directly, which is always a good thing to do. All right, so Alabama, House Bill 25, Michael Phillips Compassionate Care Act, another medical cannabis bill, House Bill 66. So two different bills. And then there's a third one here for reducing penalties.
I have corresponded with the sponsor of one of the medical marijuana bills, and she has informed me that Alabama, like a number of states, is looking at legislation to try and lower their incarceration costs. So this idea of decriminalization or depenalization of simple possession is an idea that's being floated around among lawmakers in Alabama, and there is a likelihood that there could be a decrim bill that would be introduced there as well.
Yeah, times get tough. We just can't afford the luxury of throwing potheads in jail for as long. I guess that's the lesson there. All right, other states that are listed here, Indiana, that's a tough nut to crack there. Of course, the longtime home of that Representative Burton, who was always so anti-drug. What do we got going on in Indiana?
There's actually a couple bills in Indiana. There's a medical marijuana bill that has been introduced, and there is a separate bill that seeks to decriminalize up to 3 ounces of marijuana in Indiana. That would be a major change in that state because possession of 2 ounces or more is actually a felony in Indiana. That bill also seeks to change Indiana's per se zero tolerance DUI law that says under the law a person is guilty of a traffic violation if they operate a motor vehicle with even trace amounts of inert marijuana metabolites in their urine. The bill that's been proposed in Indiana would get rid of that zero-tolerance statute. That measure had a hearing last week, and it continues this ongoing debate that they've had among lawmakers in Indiana for the last couple years. They had a study committee that looked at this issue over the summer. They've had legislative hearings already this year, and I expect that that debate is going to continue in that state in the immediate future.
So with the removal of that zero-tolerance penalty, then Indiana would just revert back to having, impairment-based DUI law?
Exactly.
Okay. Right to the American heartland, maybe one of the last places people would think of a marijuana law getting passed, Kansas, where they've got a bill for medical marijuana. What's the details on that?
They had a hearing on Tuesday of last week. This is a bill that was introduced last year. It carried over into this year, had an informational hearing on Tuesday, and also last week a Senate companion bill was introduced as well. The lawmaker in the House that's really been pushing this is a very sincere woman, suffers from some particular illness, and while I don't know if she has any firsthand experience with the use of marijuana as a medicine, she clearly understands how marijuana works as a medicine, is really fighting the good fight there in Kansas. Unfortunately, she is up against some very difficult chairs of committees. Who have made it clear that while they may hold some informational hearings on this issue, they're not likely to take it particularly seriously, and that's really a shame.
Mm. All right. Now up to the Granite State, New Hampshire, where, you know, they're surrounded by marijuana reforms. Vermont and Maine have medical marijuana. Massachusetts recently decriminalized. There's a lot. New Hampshire always stands kind of alone amongst the New England states in their marijuana laws, but there's a couple of bills there in this live free or die state that could change that and make it actually the most progressive of the New England states. Tell us about them.
Well, New Hampshire's always been historically a state where we have a lot of reform legislation, and one of the reasons why is New Hampshire is a very progressive state when it comes to the number of state lawmakers that they have. There's actually more members of the House of Representatives in New Hampshire than any other state in the country. So you get a lot of bills, and all bills in New Hampshire get hearings. Hmm. So all of these measures that are introduced get their day in the sun. They get debated before lawmakers. And as in past years, there is a measure that has been introduced to decriminalize marijuana in New Hampshire. That bill was heard on Thursday. A week ago on Thursday, a separate bill that just outright legalized the adult use of marijuana for those over 21. That was heard before lawmakers. These bills will be voted on by those committees. And I have also heard that there are plans underway to once again have a very strong legislative push to enact medical marijuana in New Hampshire. As some longtime listeners may know, for several years running, medical marijuana legislation was introduced in New Hampshire, had quite a bit of legislative support, but unfortunately ran into the governor's veto pen. And my understanding from those on the ground is that this year, lawmakers think that they have the votes to override an eventual veto from the governor, and they're planning on moving forward without expecting his support.
Hmm. And New Hampshire still has that same governor who vetoed before?
Yes.
Okay. Now, one last state here in our legislative roundup here with Paul Armentano, and again, you can get all the details on this at our blog, blog.normal.org. Look for the Normal's Weekly Legislative Roundup, and this will keep coming out. Virginia, state of Virginia. Now, I've heard from a lot of cannabis consumers there in Virginia how tough the state is, how draconian their penalties are. So this is good news that we're getting that they at least want to study the measure. Tell us about this.
Well, good news and bad news. The good news is, yes, that there is a young delegate, David England, who actually introduced two resolutions this year, one to have the state of Virginia petition the federal government to reschedule marijuana, and this other resolution to have the state of Virginia put together a study committee to look at the issue of producing and selling marijuana in ABC licensed stores in Virginia. Unfortunately, both of those measures have been tabled, with the latter resolution actually being tabled last night. Several representatives of Normal went to Richmond. They did testify on behalf of the bill. And while it's disappointing to see these measures tabled, the good thing I'll say is that these have been tremendous vehicles for stimulating public discourse in the state of Virginia. I saw more serious-minded discussions in media articles and news stories about whether or not Virginia should legalize marijuana in the last 2 weeks than I've seen in the previous 10 years in a state like Virginia, and it's all because of these resolutions being brought forward and getting hearings. Virginia is another state, like New Hampshire, where a citizen can actually introduce legislation, and every piece of legislation that's introduced will get heard before a public committee, and there will be public testimony taken and a vote will be taken. So while it's a tough legislature to get this sort of legislation passed through, people in Virginia actually have a very unique opportunity to at least stimulate the discussion, unlike in other states like, say, a Missouri or an Oklahoma, where it's very common to have bills introduced. They may never even be assigned a committee, and they never get a hearing.
Right, absolutely. It's so different from state to state, and that's why it's important that you get educated about how your state legislature works so you can be effective in your activism and your lobbying. Paul Armentano is the deputy director of Normal and is joining us here this Friday. And in a couple weeks, we'll do another one of these and catch up on what's going on in the legislation across all of the states. And Paul, will we see you down in L.A. next weekend?
I won't be in L.A. next weekend because I'm actually flying to Florida. I am giving a talk at the University of Central Florida, so that is where I'll be.
All right. Anything else before we let you go?
Yeah, there's a couple other states I'd want to highlight really quickly.
Okay.
Rhode Island has decriminalization legislation that's been introduced, and it is actually a reintroduction of a bill that Representative Edwards has introduced. You actually had him on your show last year talking about this issue. But the reason I really want to stress Rhode Island this year is because a statewide poll was just taken asking the voters what they thought about decriminalization, and 65% of them responded that they favor this bill. I actually have very high hopes for Rhode Island this year because overall they have a very progressive legislature. They have a legislature that really understands the marijuana issue. After all, this is the same legislature that voted to enact medical marijuana dispensaries by 103-2 vote
Right. Not
very long ago. So this is a legislature that understands the need for marijuana law reform, and they know that the public supports marijuana law reform. That's going to be a state to watch. I also want to point people out to New York State. And if they go to our blog, they'll see that just yesterday, the 2010 New York City arrest figures came out. Mm-hmm. They were almost an all-time high. Over 50,000 New Yorkers were busted and arrested for marijuana possession in a state where there should be zero arrests for minor marijuana possession, because marijuana possession since 1977 has been decriminalized. The police in New York City are not following the spirit of the law, and there has to be a change in the law in New York State. And there's both an assembly bill and a Senate bill in New York State that would stop this practice of New York City cops making these arrests that they should not otherwise be making. So I really encourage your listeners, if they're in New York, the state, to go to our CapWiz page and show their support and in favor of that legislative change.
All right, fantastic. And we're going to keep on with all of these legislators as well. Next week on the podcast on Wednesday, we're speaking with Representative Patricia Todd from Alabama on the bills we talked about Alabama. We haven't got it nailed down yet, but Representative England from Virginia will be on to talk about what they're doing there as far as that study and where they're going to move on now that those bills have been tabled. So plenty of guests coming up in the future here. And, of course, Paul Armentano will be back to give us more legislative updates. Thanks so much, Paul, for joining us.
Thank you, Russ.
All right. When we come back, we're going to visit with Mark Peterson from Show Me Cannabis in Missouri and Sensible Missouri on trying to get reform passed there. It's the Normal Show Live. We're back right after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges, and we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Russ Belville. Yeah, he's a scurvy dog.
You guys have blundered into our secret Tobacco patch.
Wow! Is that Wacky Tobacco?
No Wacky.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
The effects of marijuana prohibition are felt by all Americans in every walk of life, regardless of race, creed, color, religion, social status, wealth, gender, sexual orientation, or even one's use or non-use of marijuana. As the Marijuana Smokers Lobby, NORML hears the stories of these average Americans and brings them to the attention of our policymakers and our fellow citizens in this segment we call NORML Newsmakers.
All right, welcome back, everybody, and I'd like to begin by welcoming our guest, Mark Peterson, who's kind of a surprise guest. Surprise to him because he didn't realize we'd be calling. Mark, are you there?
I sure am.
We were trying to arrange this interview through a third party, and I guess our wires got crossed because I had it booked for today. I'm so sorry to catch you by surprise.
No problem at all, sir.
All right. Well, we wanted to call you and talk to you about what's happening with Show Me Cannabis regulation and Sensible Missouri, and in whatever order you wish to tackle those.
Okay. All righty. Yes, I founded Sensible Missouri a little over 2 years ago, and mostly for exactly what we're doing right now. And it is to get people educated. And in my area particularly deals with the medical aspects of cannabis. I am the medical advisor for the campaign also for showing cannabis regulation. And so Sensible Missouri is my means of basically organizing the patients of Missouri. At a different event, we have patient panels where people have the opportunity to hear from patients themselves about how cannabis benefits them in the treatment of their chronic or terminal illness. And actually meet them face-to-face, ask them questions, things of that nature as well. So that's been a big benefit for us leading up to the campaign.
So that's for the medical the side of things. And then the Show Me Cannabis is the legalization side, right?
Well, Show Me Cannabis basically is the umbrella over all these things in regard to the actual campaign itself. Since our campaign touches on more than medical,
okay,
it touches on also the hemp hemp industry for our state, and it also talks about the adult consumption of cannabis and providing the different protections for all three.
You know, Missouri, I imagine, is a very rural state, a lot of farmers there. Are they well-educated on the potential of hemp?
We're moving that direction, and the farmers are very interested in this subject. Missouri farmers are hurting, just like farmers all across our nation are hurting. And hemp would provide such a tremendous benefit for the farmers of Missouri. Hemp was a very vital industry at one time in this state.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it could be again.
Yeah, absolutely. We're speaking with Mark Peterson from Sensible Missouri. And before we go too much farther, are there some websites that you can give people if they want to get involved and learn more about your organization?
Most certainly. First and foremost is Show Me Cannabis website, which is show-mecannabis.com. And my website, sensiblemissouri.org. And we definitely, these are sites for people within the state to visit and check out the different things we have available. From the Show Me Cannabis website, you can also go and find information about the petitioning that's currently going on. We have someplace, I'm guessing, somewhere in the neighborhood of 500 petitioners out across the state currently gathering signatures for this initiative. And and those numbers are growing very rapidly. As a matter of fact, I was just meeting just a few minutes ago here in the restaurant with some more petitioners and more people working with us right now. So people are very excited all over the state about this We have a majority in the state.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of getting out and reaching people.
Yeah. Now, as far as your signature gathering goes, what is the target you need to hit, and how far along are you to that target?
Well, I can answer part of that, because the petitions are still coming in, so I don't have any really hard numbers on where we are just right now.
Okay.
Basically, we've got six out of the nine districts within the state of Missouri. And the total number there comes out of right around 155,000.
Okay.
We are actually shooting for much beyond that. We are hoping for 200,000 to 250,000 signatures. And it's just a time thing for us right now. We've got roughly a little more than 2 months, I guess, to accomplish what we need to do. And it's definitely possible to do. And we get our signatures in, we'll have it on the ballot in November.
All right.
I have no doubt whatsoever that it will pass.
Right on. So we get it on the ballot and it passes. So how does the law change in Missouri? What's legal once this passes?
Okay, the first most important thing in our petition is the very first line, and I insisted on this line being there, and that's to eliminate cannabis from the list of controlled substances within our state. It has no business being there. Cannabis is non-toxic. It should not be on the list of toxic substances as it is. You know, it's right now in the state of Missouri, as it is in most places throughout our country, is considered a Schedule I drug, the same as heroin. And that is just not, should not be. We have to change that. We need to change that nationally. That's the first and most important thing. Cannabis regulation will accomplish, it will provide protection for medical patients, as I stated earlier, and a protection for physicians who recommend cannabis. It will remove the felonies surrounding cannabis for our state, and which changes the complete dynamic of the way in which people look at cannabis, which they need to do. It will provide amnesty for nonviolent cannabis infractions, cannabis crimes. People who are currently being held in jails, prisons, would be released with our initiative. Their records would be restored. This is very important. I mean, we have been too long in the business of destroying lives and creating criminals. We must stop that.
Does the initiative specify any particular limits that are considered personal amount limits, an ounce, 2 ounces, something like that?
This is an excellent point. Basically, what we have within ours is we provide cultivation for anyone over the age of 21 can cultivate in an area 10 foot by 10 foot,
okay,
which is a sizable area for anyone who's producing for their personal use, whether they're a patient or not. So that up to, you know, over the age of 21, anyone would have the ability to cultivate in an area 10 foot by 10 foot. Now, in areas larger than 10 foot by 10 foot would be a commercial grow, and you would need licenses to be able to do that.
Okay.
If you are a patient and you have need, perhaps a chronic or terminal illness where you need things like cannabis oil, which is a concentrate, which would require larger amounts, you would be able to cultivate in an area larger than 10 foot by 10 foot with a doctor's recommendation. If you are under the age of 21 and you require cannabis for your illness, you can get a doctor's recommendation and the consent of a guardian and for that. If you are a patient outside of the state of Missouri and you've got the proper paperwork, you will have the same rights as a Missouri resident.
That's fantastic. How about for non-patients? Is there just a personal use limit? We've got about 30 seconds.
No, there is no limitations on the quantity, only on the cultivation.
All right. Mark Peterson from Sensible Missouri and show-mecannabis.com. Check those out and get involved there. Let's change the laws of Missouri. Mark, thanks for joining us on short notice. We really appreciate it.
No problem, Ralph. Thanks so much, Ralph.
All right. Well, everybody, that's it for the week, and we're going to take it into hour two. Join us in L.A. next week. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation. Dang it.